All right, so last week I kicked off our summer series. We're calling it House of Prayer. Everybody say House of Prayer. All right, that's a shortened quote from the mouth of Jesus in Matthew 22. He said that his house would be called a house of prayer. It's really the primary thing that he wants his house known for is the people of God not just showing up. You know, so you got to think about our culture and what's normal to us, but then you got to think about what's the vision Jesus gave us for his house. And he said, my house will be called a house of prayer. So the number one function of the people of God meeting together is to learn how to pray and think less. Here's my list, God, please answer, but more prayer as a broad term of connection with God. This is not about just me connecting with you or listening to a pastor. This is not just about you turning to the person next to you, though all that is so valuable. Guys, it's here. It's like we got to learn how to connect with the living God. He is our source of life. He's our everything. And so Jesus was really passionate about that and clear. That comment was made after flipping a table. So he's, if you guys know that story in the Bible. And so he's passionate about protecting the people of God from getting distracted from the main thing. And the main thing is, man, we get the privilege of connecting with God. So last week I kicked that off, but we're going to keep going throughout the rest of the summer, talking about the house of prayer. And one awesome element, we've done this the last couple summers, is I've asked a variety of people within our church body to share the Sunday sermons or the messages. So I'm not going to be preaching for like 13 weeks. It's going to be great. And I mean, I'm sad, but no, it's actually going to be great. But it's also awesome for you guys because you get to hear from the wealth that's within this body of some incredible people that have a rich relationship with God and have something to offer us. And this morning, we got the treat of having Colin and Cortland Adams that are going to be sharing. They are newer faces to our church body, but have been familiar with Antioch and have been a part of an Antioch church for years, but we've had them for the last couple months, and they'll get to share a little bit of their journey. But let's give it up for Colin and Cortland Adams as they come and share this morning. I'm going to pray over this wonderful couple here. Lord, we just thank you so much for the Adams. We bless them this morning. We thank you for what you've given them to share. And I just pray that with joy, God, they would be able to communicate the things you put on their heart. And God, more than that, Lord, open our hearts. We want to receive. We believe you have something for us this morning. So teach us, awaken us, speak to us, do whatever you want to do. We open ourselves up to you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Give it up for the Adams one more time.
Well, it's so good to see all of y'all. I can't believe we are just standing in front of you right now. We're so humbled and we're so honored, and it's been awesome to be part of this body for the last 5 months, and it feels like being part of the Antioch movement, we did not skip a beat when we jumped in here. So it's just eyes closed, head first. That's how we do it. So I'm going to give a little background on us. So we are the Adams family, Colin and Cortland. And we are U of A grads. So we went to the U of A.
Blue pig.
Both graduated in 2018. We met at Andy's Frozen Custard on MLK.
So holy ground.
It's holy ground.
Holy ground.
It's a special place. So, you know, if you're, you know, if you feel like God's saying, hey, maybe it might be the time to, you know, meet someone, you know, I submit that to you. Go to Andy's. Anyway, so we got married in 2018. Right after that, we actually moved out to Seattle. A job took us out there. So we have been so blessed to be in Seattle for the last 7 years. We actually have some very dear friends visiting us this week from Seattle. So we're so thankful they're there. But we jumped into Mosaic, the Antioch church there that was planted in 2005, our first week as a married couple. We just dove straight in, and we never left. 2019, we did the discipleship school, now called the training school. But we were part of the discipleship school, and around 2020, 2021 is when we actually both ended up on staff at Mosaic in Seattle. And during that time on staff, during that time of being with the other people of God, being with people just in this context, is when God really catalyzed our hearts for prayer and intercession. We had the privilege to be a part of several prayer movements within Mosaic and throughout the Antioch movement, and it was in those moments of just passionate prayer and intercession that Holy Spirit really planted a seed in our hearts for just the catalytic power of prayer, but also just practical vision for how that gets walked out and released into our family, our church, and ultimately the nations. And so over the last several years, we have walked through some really high highs and also some very low lows. And it's been the hand of God that has been faithful to water that seed. That was supposed to be a watering pail, in case you were like, what is he? Why is he doing that? It's a watering pail. Been faithful to water that seed in our hearts and cause that soil to be ready to grow that seed. We had the privilege of starting an intercession group at Mosaic. We prayed in David's tent on the Washington National Mall lawn and have even just done intercession in the nations. And so we have been so blessed to be a part of God's heart for prayer in those different ways. So a little bit more personal background. While in Seattle, God started our family. So we have two babies, two boys. I think we might have a picture, potentially.
Everyone wants to see them. Come on. There they are.
So we have two boys, Owen and Melvin. Owen's on the right. He is a 30-pounder. And then Melvin is on the left. He's a 20-pounder. So if you hold both of them, it's like you legit got a sandbag, except they squiggle and wiggle around. So if you're looking to do like a HIIT workout, you just come over, hold our boys, and, you know, you'll leave, you know, with a higher VO2 max, hopefully. That's the idea. So around this time last year, springtime, the Lord started to put on our hearts just a change of season. We were kind of asking the Lord, what is next? What do you have for us? After 7 years of Seattle, and we started to hear just through several different ways that the Lord was speaking Northwest Arkansas. And so we made the faith decision in June of last year to move back to Northwest Arkansas. And we immediately reached out to Mitchell and Beth, and just as the wonderful apostolic leaders that they are, they covered us and said, hey, let's get you home. Let's get you back to Arkansas. And so we have felt so loved in this transition back, but also so loved by how welcomed we have felt. And for those of you whom we have met and has been to establish a relationship with, and those of whom we have not met, we love you, and we are so thankful to be a part of this body, and we are just so honored and deeply humbled to be sharing with you today. So I'm going to let Cortland kick it off with some of the things we feel the Lord speaking to this house.
Yeah. So Colin mentioned that we got to be a part of a couple of different prayer like moments in a part. He mentioned David's tent. And if you don't know what David's tent is, it's a miracle. So let me tell you about it. It is a tent, in case you didn't catch that. It's a tent that's on the National Mall where there's 24/7 prayer and worship happening. So it's like literally in the heart of our nation's government, there's 24/7 prayer and worship happening to the King of Kings. Yeah. It's amazing. And so we went out there flew across the country with a team of people from Mosaic, and we got to do some of the midnight hours, which if you've ever done, we're talking about this 24 hours of prayer that we're doing here, like come in the middle of the night. Yeah. Because God has, like, you have so much of his attention because so many people are asleep, you know? Yeah. And it's like, oh, man, like, we were like, the entire city of Washington, D.C. is asleep. But, like, we're here talking with God. And it was amazing. It was so powerful. So we're worshiping God. And kind of in that moment, he starts to really unify the people in the tent around this idea of God being the good father. Like, the worship songs that we were singing, some of the prayers we were singing. And so we're we're worshiping God as Father, and I get an incredibly intense headache, like migraine-level headache, kind of like in a moment. And I was like, jet lag, we're on the different side of the country, it's like 2 a.m, bummer, like that this is coming on. And then I had this moment where I just kind of, it was the Holy Spirit, he just kind of paused me and was like, what if this is me trying to get your attention? Like, I actually want to use this moment. And so I was like, okay, God, what's going on? Like, why do I have a headache? What is this? And I just sensed the Holy Spirit say, you're feeling my father heart breaking towards the city of Washington, D.C. And it was, I started to cry. And I'm crying now because I'm postpartum, I guess. But also it's just the tenderness of God. Like, I started to encounter the deep, rich, everlasting love of God towards the people of Washington, D.C. And out of this encounter with God came this prayer that was not mine. It was God's. Like, he's praying as the Father for his love to reach every single person in Washington, D.C. And he, like, allowed me into that encounter to release it. Like, he already was praying that, but he let me, like, partner with him in that moment. And after I prayed, the headache lifted. And it was this moment where it really, like, I was so in awe of the power of God, but also it changed the way I saw intercessory prayer, where it is like you partner with God to release blessing here on earth, but you also grow your intimacy with him. Yeah. It's like both. And so, anyways, we're really excited to talk about intercessory prayer, because that's really part of what like really catalyzed us of like, we want to pray like that all the time. That was amazing. I love God more because of that moment. And so today we're going to specifically be talking about why we as the body of Jesus need to pray for our leaders in our church, like why we should do that. But before we do that, I want to actually share a brief little illustration about intercession, because I think that will help give us helpful framework as we dive into like the practicals of how we're going to pray for this specific topic. But I want to expand on like what is intercession and why should we all do it, basically. So I'm a visual learner, and so I'm just going to bring you along with me. I'm asked Mitchell and Lindsay to help me with this.
Yeah, come on up, you guys. Let's give it up for Mitchell and Lindsay.
Okay, so Mitchell is going to stand a little bit further away. Yep, and you're going to hold on to the end of this rope. Yep. And then it's not going to get tangled. Okay, and yeah, will you do Lindsay? Okay, here we go. So, can I have these?
Yep,
you do it. Okie dokie. So intercession, you might have heard it as like standing in the gap. Like standing in the gap for something. But it's like, I'm just going to put real clear language to what that actually means. So Mitchell's going to represent the kingdom of God.
Oh.
High calling, but you're up for the task. So that's kingdom of God. And so it's like, what's the kingdom of God? There's no sin. There's no shame. There's no sickness. Everything's perfect. Jesus is there. He's ruling. He's reigning, like on the throne. It's amazing. So then over here, Lindsay's going to represent our earthly reality. That's just not that. There's sin, there's sickness, there's brokenness, there's broken relationships. Like, it's just not that yet. And so there's a gap between that. But like we're talking today specifically about praying for our leaders, I'm going to make it very clear. This is everything about Antioch that you could and should be praying for. Here we go. Mitchell and Beth. We love them. Thank you, Lord, for Mitchell and Beth. Larry, our executive pastor, he's on sabbatical right now. We should all pray for him. Lindsay, we love her. Thank you, God. Joey, where you at, Joey? Mara, Sarah, we're so thankful for Sarah and all her administrative gifting. Sorry, this is taking a little longer. Colin, can you do this? The college ministry at the U of A, the college ministry at JBU, we see you. Antioch Kids. What else do we have? The mission trip coming up to Southeast Asia. Mission trip coming up to the Asian islands. And missionaries that we have living all over the world. Like that, there's so much. There's so much that you could be praying. And because this is our earthly reality, Lindsay could represent anything. You can pray for anything. This could be your neighbors, your coworkers, your boss, your family. Like this could be anything. But again, for today, we're honing it into the idea of praying for our church and our leaders. So here we go. Standing in the gap. So because of sin, our reality is not, like, this is severed. Sin severed the reality of, like, the kingdom of God being released here all the time because there's sin brokenness. I already explained that. And so Colin's going to represent Jesus, and that's because he's so pure in heart. But also, you'll see why. It's not because I idolize my husband. But this is what Jesus did. And you see this in the Bible, that Jesus is called our high priest, who is constantly interceding for us. So Jesus, because he died on the cross, like he is holding this tension forever. He will never be dethroned from the high priest role. He is constantly like asking the Father to say, oh, look at the Welch family. God, let's get them. Let's bless them. You know, like he's going to hold that tension. And I think there's an opportunity where some people are like, Jesus has it. He's got it. Like, why would I pray for, I have a lot going on myself. Why would I pray for other people when my time with God's just filled with my own needs, worries, concerns? Like, why would I do that? And I feel like it's like, he does. He does have that tension. He will hold it. But you're missing out. You're missing out. And like, this is why I made this rope so long. Like, there's this invitation to come in and say, like, Jesus, I'm here. What are you praying for the Welch family? What are you praying for Antioch? What do you desire to see happen in Southeast Asia this year? Like, how can I pray with you of what you're already praying? I'm going to come and I'm going to grab on and I'm going to partner with you, because this is the type of closeness that happens with Jesus. And it's not like, it's so beautiful, because you're like, God, I don't really know what to pray. He does, and he wants to partner with you to release blessing here on earth and grow your intimacy with him. Makes sense? And then I just want to say, because I think, again, Lindsay could represent anything on earth, and so sometimes intercession feels heavy. Can feel heavy, especially when you've been carrying something for a long time that you haven't seen God fulfill yet. And I just want to say, like, the grace to let go is from God. Like, there is a mercy to say, God, I've got to let go of the thing I've carried because I know you're still holding it. He doesn't let go. He's not, like, done holding the tension for you, but don't let it become a place of, like, complacency where you're like, well, he's got it. I don't really need to pray for that anymore, because he desires that closeness with you. Make sense? Give it up for our incredible, incredible examples. Thank you, Lindsay. So it is. It's all about that nearness and intimacy and close relationship with Jesus that makes intercession just like such a beautiful spiritual practice in your life as a follower of Jesus. But today, so it's like, you know, okay, we need to pray for our leaders and our church. But like, why? Why do we need to do that? And plain and simple, it's in the Bible. Nothing complicated about it. Like, it's just in this, it's in the Word of God. And so we want the Word of God to lord our life. We want it to rule how we live so that we look more like Jesus. And it's just in the Bible. And so I'm going to read from 1 Timothy 2:1-4. If you want to turn there, it will also be up on the screens. But 1 Timothy says, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of our God, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. So I feel like this scripture a lot of times gets equated into like praying for our government and our leaders because it talks about kings. But I'm like, this is for anyone in leadership position. This is for your life group leader. This is for our staff. This is for our pastors. This is for your boss. Like, you can equate this to anyone who is in some type of authority over you, because if you're like, I'm just picturing, like, I want, because God has called our family to this house, to this family. God's trusted the Welches to be the spiritual leaders. I want them to be on fire with God. I want that, because then I am going to catch like what they're walking in. That's just like, if my leader is healthy and running after God and is like keeping the main thing, being part of this house, like, I'm going to be blessed just by being a part, because that's just how God's kind. Like, that's how he's kind to his body, to like use the leaders and the giftings that's on their life. And so I want them to be healthy. I want them to be protected from like spiritual attack. And, you know, so it's like, as a part of this body, you're just getting to say like, wait, yeah, God, I do want them to live peaceful lives. Like, I want them to be on fire for God. And you're also just pleasing God by obeying the scripture. It says you're pleasing him. Like, by praying for your leaders, it is pleasing to God. And then also in scripture, kind of all over the place, you see in the New Testament, when Paul writes a letter to one of the churches, he says, like, I've heard of your faith and I have not stopped praying for you. Like, he just says that, like, I constantly am remembering you in my prayers. And so you see, like, all scripture was breathed out by God. So this is actually God's heart for the church to be praying for the church. And it's so beautiful, like, for the bride to bless the bride. Like, that is such a beautiful unified picture, where I think the enemy and where culture is so opposite of that. And like, I'm going to advance mine and I'm going to go after my agenda and I have my life and my worries and my cares. But when the people of God like hear of something happening in your life group to another family or person, and you're like, wait, how do I get to partner, like, to lift that burden with God? Like, I'm not going to solve it for you, but I'm going to stand in that gap and say, God, what's happening to their family is not the reality of heaven. So I'm going to pull it down on their behalf purely because we're just family. Like, we're just walking life together, like what Lindsay was talking about with life group. Like, that's just the beauty of being in community with the people of God. And yeah, and like in, let's see, what scripture is this? It's on the previous page. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23, which is actually a scripture that Mitchell read last week. That's what he says. He says, for this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And I love that because he was reminded. Like, he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit and was like, oh my gosh, I forgot. Like, yes, like, I'm so encouraged by how you were encountering those people. Like, thanks for reminding me about them. I'm gonna take that reminder as not just like a fleeting thought, but I'm actually gonna remember, like, I can hear the voice of God as a follower of Jesus. You're reminding me about my brothers and sisters, and so I'm gonna pray for them right now. Like, he's capturing this little reminder from God to actually be an activation into prayer and covering and intercession. Those are our reasons for you. It's in the Bible. So we should just do it. Like, it's in the Bible. And but we also wanted to share a couple practicals of, like, how that has looked in our life, of ways that we've kind of created some rhythms. Because just like Paul, like, we have to be reminded. Like, our lives are busier than ever in these days, it feels like. And so, like, you have to be intentional, or it might not happen. And so one thing is, like, there's no one way to intercede. So please hear these ideas, and it's not like, oh my gosh, I have to do all of those. But I hope that these are just like encouragements that you just maybe grab one and start putting it into practice in your life so that you do create this muscle of intercession and prayer. So one thing is like time with God every day, spending time with God, reading the word, worshiping. And then you may even say like, God, thanks so much for like encountering me through this scripture. Is there anyone else in my life who needs this scripture? And I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted to specifically encourage us not to be intimidated to encourage our leaders. Because I think that's the enemy's scheme, is to make you think that you don't hear God, or that your encounter with him or your revelation out of the word is like elementary or less than, because it's like, oh, Mitchell's probably read the whole Bible. He knows this. Like, he probably doesn't want to hear that. And I'm like, no, like, it is the active living word of God. Release it, say it, share it. Like, don't let the fear of man be the reason why you're not going to like encourage the brothers and the sisters around you, because they need it. Everyone needs it. And if they don't, they're just blinded that they don't, that they think they don't need it. So like, just do it anyways. And because it's pleasing to God, like the Bible said, and that's who, at the end of the day, we're not trying to please Mitchell. We're trying to please God. Like, we just want to love him better. And so that's one practical thing, is like using your time with God to be a thing where you're like, okay, actually, then how do I not just receive from you, but who else needs this in my life? Like, who do you want me to release this to? I've set reminders on my phone, so I'll have like a reminder pop up every week at the same time on Wednesdays that says pray for the Craycrafts, because otherwise, like, they live in the other side of the world, and so like I don't see them on the day to day, and so it's like literally this is the modern day. Like, I just picture if this scripture from Paul had been written today, it's like, thanks so much that my phone popped up and reminded me about you guys because I pray for you. So like, use technology to your advantage, and set reminders. Even when we lived in Seattle, I had a long commute, and so I would use that time to pray and intercede. And even like, I would be driving through brokenness. Like, I would drive through something that I'm like, ugh, Lord, no, like, purify our city. Like, no, why is that allowed? Like, like, that just, no. And it's just, it breaks God's heart. Like, it's not his reality and he doesn't love it. So let's partner with him to change it, you know? And so like, to testify, literally, there was a impure club that was right on the route to the church in Seattle. And we would pray, God, close it. Close the doors. Change their desires. Change their, like, just release them. Like, close the doors. And he did it.
Yeah.
it's closed. Like, the sign got taken down. It was just like, come on. Like, it really does work. Like, not from us. It's him. He can do it. He can do things like that. He can literally move. So use your, like, commute through the city to bless the city and, like, or to, like, capture, like a reminder thought of, like, oh, I'm on my way to life group. Let's pray for our life group leaders while we're going, you know? Anyways, that's just an idea. Maybe you pray with a group. Like, we have early morning prayer that happens in the prayer room. Pray with people, praying with your life group. And then I brought this illustration. It's my last illustration, I promise. But this lives on our dining table. Leif has seen it in action, and Lindsay's seen it in action. Our toddler loves to shake it. And inside are popsicle sticks, and on each popsicle stick is, like, the Welches or missionaries or other pastors who we love and just want to carry, and we need to be reminded. And so it's been so sweet because this is $2 at Hobby Lobby, and our two-year-old can do it. He can do it. And so I'm just wanting to show this as, like, it is, like, don't complicate it. Don't make it this big, like, to-do that's intimidating and scary. Like, use something like this where you're like, God, who are we going to pray for? And then you pull it out, and it's like, God, thanks so much for the church that you're planting in South Seattle. Like, we love them. And it's just a way to keep it in front of you and for you to activate with it. And again, like, parents, use your kids. Like, involve them. It's so fun to be like, Owen, what should we pray for the Welches? And he says the funniest stuff. And it's like, let's do it. Let's, like, I don't know, maybe y'all are wanting a dog, but he really thinks y'all want a dog. He's like, dogs. And I'm like, you love dogs. Let's let them encounter the love of God today. That's so good. So anyways, this is just a really practical way that we've encountered, like, we've, like, brought our kids into the practice of intercession, and it keeps our, like, mealtime prayer not just about us. Like, it's global. It's bigger than. We're part of a big body that we get to engage with through prayer. And then the last thing is that you can pray scripture. Like, you might be in the room. You might be like us. Like, I'm brand new. We've only been here a little bit. I actually haven't met any of the staff. I haven't joined the life group yet, but, like, I really like this place. I think I'm going to keep coming. But how do I do this? Like, how do I pray for leaders? God knows them. You might not know them, but God knows them. And his word is living and active. And so you can pray the Bible for people. Like, just use scripture to pray. Like, he literally gives you the script of what to pray for leaders. And so we're actually going to activate that right now. So if you lead a life group, if you lead a serve team, if you're on staff here.
And section leaders.
Yeah, any section leaders, like, please stand up. You're like, oh, don't do this. Stand up. Let's clap. Let's clap. So good.
Let's encourage these ones.
Yes. And so if someone is close to you, you might have to get up from your seat. We're just going to surround them. And I'm going to pray in the microphone. I'm going to pray scripture so you can hear an example of what this looks like. But we're going to activate right now as the body. We're going to pray for our leaders together. And we're going to do it out of Ephesians 1. So gather around and pray with me. And I'm going to say is, like, agree with me. So don't just be, like, standing here next to someone you've never met before, but, like, hear the word of God and be like, yes, I agree with that. Yes, that's true. Like, yes. And so let's pray together in agreement. And so, God, thank you for the faith of our leaders. Thank you, God. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, would we be a family that does not cease to give thanks for our leaders and remembering them in our prayers? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you glory, and we ask that you would give the spirit of revelation and the wisdom and the knowledge of him to our leaders. Open their eyes, God. Open their eyes that they may be enlightened, that they would know the hope for which they have called them to. Any leader in this room that feels weary and hopeless, we cut it off and we say hope infused right now in the name of Jesus. And we ask that they would be walking in the power of the immeasurable greatness according to the work of his might. Thank you, Jesus, that you rule and reign in all authority and power and above every name. And so we exalt our leaders under your lordship. Like, you reign over our leaders, God. And so we bless them. We come as, like, fuel and fire and wind behind them, God. And we just do. We bless them today as the body in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can head back to your seat. Amen. So that's praying scripture. Simple as that, you know? So powerful. And then Colin was going to touch on like kind of the last kind of how you can pray for our leaders. Yeah. Praying in the prophetic. Let's go.
Yeah. Wasn't that good? She's really fiery, and I love it. And this is just Court walks in an anointing for this. She carries a deep intercessor's anointing, and it has truly, like, sharpened our family, and it's sharpened me, and I'm so honored to be standing next to you. So, you know, it's okay.
Love you.
Anyway, we'll wipe our tears away and get going. Yeah, we just really felt that there was a specific way for our church to partner, and that is prophecy and praying prophetic prayers. And I think we all have maybe a different experience with the prophetic, and maybe even, you know, when you hear that word, you can associate it with different things. And I just recognize that we all have maybe a different experience with it. I think sometimes we can often associate the word prophecy with, you know, we chalk it up to be a spiritual gift just reserved for like those seasoned saints, or maybe like the ones who have walked with Jesus for a while, or even this term like super Christians, which is just like, that's not a thing. So I just want to break that off right now. There is a powerful place of authority that you have under the blood of Jesus to release prayers of prophecy over the church and the leaders in this house. Like, it's authority that you have, and it's been irrevocably placed on your life. So when we look at what prophecy is, in the Old Testament, the prophet functioned as the mouthpiece of God, the one who is hearing directly from God and releasing those truths to his people. The Greek word, translated prophecy or prophesying, in the Greek, it's prophetuo, which literally means to speak forth or declare the divine will, to interpret the purposes of God, or to make known in any way the truth of God, which is designed to influence people. And God has specific truths that he wants to speak directly to your heart, that he then wants to extract out of you and release that into the body of believers. There is specific things that he has specifically for you. And I'll touch on this in a second, but turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 14. Let's look at what the purpose of prophecy is. Verses 1 through 4, it talks like this. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For the one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. The one who prophesies builds up the church. So this should deeply encourage us. This does not say, if you do X, then you may prophesy. Or if you have followed Jesus for this number of years, then you may do this. No, it says the purpose of prophecy is for the building up, everyone say building up, the encouragement. And consolation. Okay, if you hear anything if I could put a blanket statement over what today is, you are 100% irrevocably called to build up, to encourage, and to bring comfort to the body of believers. Amen? Okay, so this should deeply encourage us. That is the purpose of prophecy, and again, there is a powerful place of authority that you have that's under the blood of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you are under his blood, purchased by his blood, and you have been filled with his Holy Spirit, there has been direct things that Jesus has had stored up in his heart that he wants to speak to you that is for the purpose of upbuilding, encouraging, and consoling, comforting the church. And he wants to release those prayers of prophecy through you for the leaders and this body. When we look at practically, like, okay, how do I go about that? Court touched on it earlier, but there are specific things, like, as a follower of Jesus, we are referred to as his sheep. And it says in John 10, like, if you are a sheep, you know his voice. And he says, my own know me. So that way they can distinguish me from the robber who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he's constantly desiring to speak to his sheep in any way he can so that we hear his voice and then obey him better. For some practical handrails on what does it look like to actually hear the voice of God, I would just highly encourage you. Mitchell taught on this the very first message of the year, I think January 5th, Vision Sunday, whatever that is. So please go online, look up that message. Such helpful, practical guide rails and just an understanding of what does it biblically mean to hear the voice of God and how can I walk out in that? God has these specific truths that he wants to relay directly to your heart. And then these same words he wants to extract out of you so that you can build up, encourage, and console, comfort the church. There is but one criteria for this. There's one main, I would say, requirement, and that is that we remain in a posture of humble submission to Jesus. This isn't a sheepish or self-condemning kind of place of, well, you know, it's Jesus really interceding. You know, well, Lord, if it's your will, would you protect the Welch family? If it's your will, God, would you refresh the Jones family on their sabbatical and help them be, I don't know, refreshed and unified? No, there is authority. There are prayers. Like Jesus says that the Bible says that he has raised us up and has seated us with him in the heavenly places. Would you come
He's
back
even called us a kingdom of priests.
Yes,
and
yes.
So it's like that high priest role. Yeah. He's then given out to his people to be like, come up with me and pray. Yeah, yeah, you
would
want me over here?
You stand in front of me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's this place. Not only is this a place of intimacy, but it's a place of deep authority. Because the blood has covered us, and now he's raised us up to be seated with him and see how he is seeing and get his heart. This is how we even hear him better. This is the way that those prayers, those specific truths that are designed to be spoken forth and built up the church, this is how those get released. And so it's in the secret place, it's in those daily intimate moments with Jesus that we're actually getting more of his heart and then can release those over the house. We can just switch places, that's great. It's this closeness that we get to hear him better. And it's this authority that should elicit a consecrated confidence. And this is the humility that understands that right place of who Jesus is and what he's done and who I am, the one who has been raised and seated with him, not out of any of my own works, but out of the power of his blood. And so this consecrated confidence rightly understands our posture in submission to Jesus and also rests in the authority that we have as his child. Is this making sense? I also want to just acknowledge there is when we're all practicing hearing the voice of God, right? We're all walking and practicing and stepping out in faith, and that's just a real thing. And so I think there often is this, well, what if I get it wrong? Or I think more specifically, what if I don't get it right? Or maybe I haven't done this before. I haven't stepped out in faith like this. Again, Mitchell touched on this in his message in January, but there is so much grace. We walk in a community where we can walk out these words that we're hearing. We can walk out these things that we're hearing, and it's supposed to be in a community that can help us point toward Jesus, and Jesus, he will never speak anything through his Holy Spirit that contradicts the word of God. And Holy Spirit is our helper. He is our encourager, and he wants to deeply encourage you as we step out in faith, speak out the things that he is speaking to our heart, and release it over his body. Band, if you want to come back up, and we'll start to close out. But I just felt like it was really important to touch on just a piece of encouragement that I just really felt was important. So when we look at Jeremiah was appointed prophet. So this is in Jeremiah 1, God was calling and commissioning Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations. And I love this. I think what I'm trying to get at is there is such a deep place of authority And it's so much more powerful than like any qualm or any disqualification that we can rationalize or justify over, well, I don't know if this word is, I don't know. When we look at when God called Jeremiah, he's appointing him prophet to the nations. And his first response is, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth. For to all whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them. I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth. And he said, I have put my words in your mouth. Further on down at verse 11, the word of the Lord came to me and said, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see an almond branch. And the Lord said, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. And that's ultimately what he's doing. He's asking for our faith and our trust. And that then he will be the one that confirms it. And he is the one that watches over his word to confirm it. And I think there's just a deep, powerful place of encouragement and a place of authority that we have under the blood of Jesus to release these prayers of prophecy that he's speaking directly to our heart over the church and the leaders of this house. And so we're gonna go into a time of just response, but we felt like specifically the gifts was to build up the church, help us get more of who Jesus is. And prophecy says it's for the upbuilding, for the encouragement, and for the consolation and comfort of the church. And so we're going to have a time, just like always, when we have our leaders come up who can pray for you for anything that you need. But we felt specifically that the Lord, in a greater measure, wanted to pour out the gift of prophecy to this body again. And maybe you are sitting here and you're thinking, wow, I've actually never operated in that gift. I've actually never partnered my faith in that way. Come up and receive prayer. Maybe you have walked in prophecy in some measure, but you're saying, I want more. Like we can never have too much of Jesus. Like we can never have too much of what he wants to pour out on us. And so we're going to pray here, but we just really felt specifically this was for right now.
Yeah, I also just sense if you're in the room and you're like, no, I need what that gift is for. I need to be uplifted. I need to be built up. I need to be encouraged. Like, if you need that, come up too. Like, God's going to be, he's generous. He's generous. And he has people who want to pray with you. And so, yeah, we're just going to receive from God, however that might look. So, if prayer leaders, I don't know, we don't normally do this. We're not the normal people. Yeah. So, but I think that's what Vigil normally says. Prayer leaders, if that's you.
Prayer leaders, life group leaders.
Yeah, life group leaders, come on up. Yeah, maybe let's all stand. Yeah. And something that we like to do in the Adams household is we just place ourselves in a posture of receiving by just placing our hands out. And again, whatever that might look like for you personally, like maybe that is to be encouraged. Maybe that is to receive a gift from God today. Just place your hands in front of you, open for whatever God wants to do. And so if you feel hungry in the room, invite you to just place your hands out and I'm going to pray. And then if the Holy Spirit prompts you to come and receive today, like, come on down, come on down. So yeah, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you're such a good leader, God. You're such a good leader to your sheep, to your people, and that you give good gifts. That your body, like, God, you want us to be encouraged. You want us to be upbuilt. You know that the enemy is real and he comes against the bride. Like, he hates that we're here right now loving you, wanting to follow you. And so, Jesus, if there are those in the room that just need encouragement, they need a fresh word from you, a fresh promise to stand on, God, would you speak today? And Holy Spirit, we just ask. We ask for the gifts because you say it's good to earnestly desire them. And so as your people, we're saying, God, we desire because we want to be those that encourage. We want to be those that uplift. And so Holy Spirit, we just say yes to whatever you're wanting to do today, Jesus. Yeah, we welcome the gifts this morning.